Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Tammy Schaffstall. I'm calling in from Pompano Beach, Florida, and I will be your host tonight. I am also a survivor of child abuse. Before we get started with the show, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions. If you'd like to donate to NASCA, please do so. We would appreciate that, and it is tax deductible. Excuse me. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose: to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. We educate the public, especially as getting the society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, and we present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Here at NASCA, we ask you to be aware, be a voice, be a hero, be brave. If you'd like to call in tonight and participate in the show, we'd love to have you. The telephone number is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. And I see that we've got a very healthy panel. It is an open mic discussion show tonight. We do have a co-host and a professional. Tonight is going to be Barbara Joy Hansen, but we also call her Bobby Joy. So she's calling in from Milford, Massachusetts, and she is a child abuse survivor and violence prevention expert. Her book, Listen to the Cry of the Child, is where she shares her journey. She and her husband work prisons, homeless shelters, domestic violent conferences, and other facilities. She facilitates a survivor supporting group called Beauty from Ashes. And I have hosted the show many, many times with our special guest host, Barbara Joy Hansen. And I look forward to tonight's show. I know she had several people. She told me she had several people who were calling in. So we do have a healthy panel. So I'm going to go right down the line and introduce everybody before I bring Bobby Joy on. Excuse me very much. First, I'm going to start with my co-host and trailer. Laura's calling in from Wisconsin. Good evening, Laura. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much. Going crazy with this quarantine. I'm ready for it all to be over, but I'm sure it will be soon enough.
Going stir crazy. So tonight will be a good night.
Good, good, good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, thank you for being here. Okay, next, I have a lot of numbers. I tried to look some up, but I didn't recognize any of them, so I'm just going to go right down the line. That's okay. The first number is area code from 231. Area code 231, who do we have the pleasure of speaking with? Area code 231. Okay, well, we'll come back to area code 23. I'm so sorry. That's my fault. I'm so sorry. That's my fault. I didn't open the mic. Area code 231, who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. That was my mistake. I didn't open the mic, silly me.
This is Lisa Saruga, and I'm calling from Michigan.
All right, Lisa from Michigan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate that. Absolutely, and this time I'm going to remember to open the mic. thank you so much. I appreciate that. Next, we have, it looks like it's Linda from New Jersey. Linda from New Jersey, how are you?
Hi, good evening. Hi, Barbara. Good to be here.
Good, good, good. Her mic isn't open yet, but I'm glad you've joined us. So thank you for your support. One moment. I got a little tickle in my throat. It's not COVID-19, I promise. All right. The next number I'm going to go to is area code 702. 702, who do we have the pleasure of speaking to? Area code 702, can you hear me? Okay, well, I definitely have the mic open, but area code 702, your mic is open. We'll come back to you. Next, we have area code 443. Area code 443, who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
This is Ann from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Ann?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ann, for joining us. I really appreciate that. Welcome to the NASCA show. Next, we're going to go to area code 913. Area code 913, who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
It's 931. Darlene at 931, area code.
Darlene.
I'm sorry, Darlene at 931?
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
And you're calling from Tennessee?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hey, Darlene. How are you? I should have recognized your number. Sorry about that. Because I know you're on our list. Absolutely.
Yes.
Next, I'm going to go. Yeah, we have a very large panel. Next, I'm going to go to area code 916. 916, who are we speaking with?
Hi, good afternoon. This is Nicole Jackson in Sacramento.
That's California. Well, good evening, Nicole from California. How are you?
Excellent. How are you? Thank you.
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to the NASCA show.
Thank you.
Sure. Next, I'm going to go to area code 256. Area code 256, who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
This is William.
William? Where are you calling from, William?
Arab, Alabama.
Alabama. Well, thank you for calling in, William. Welcome to the NASCA show.
You're welcome.
Okay. Before I go to Bobby Joy, I'm going to go back to area code 702. Area code 702, who do we have this pleasure of speaking to? Area code 702? Okay. Okay, well, we have a very, very large panel tonight, so I'm really excited about that. A little bit of housework, and I'll go to Bobby Joy. Just remember that we have to be courteous. I want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to speak. So please be cognizant of that. It's an open mic show, so I have all the mics open. So if you would, when you're not speaking, try to self-mute yourself, and that way you can pop in and pop out, because if we have a lot of background noise and I have to mute you, then you won't be able to participate in the show unless I think to go back and open your mic. So let's have a very good show. It's going to be wonderful, and let's just respect each other. So without further ado, I'm going to go to Ms. Barbara Joy Hansen and open her mic. Good evening, Barbara Joy.
Good evening. How are you, Tammy?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. thank you for being our co-host and our professional speaker tonight. I'm really excited. Like I said before I brought you on, we have a very large panel. So, and that's always exciting. So
yes,
I am going
so
to turn
happy.
It over. Absolutely. I would also like to mention that we know from the stats, we have a little bit of background noise, guys. We do know from the stats that we have a lot of people who stream in as well. So welcome to all the folks that may be in the chat room and streaming in. So thank you for joining us as well. Barbara Joy, I'm going to turn it over to you for you to get started and give us some words of wisdom and direct the show, because I know that you've got a couple of topics that you want to speak about tonight. Barbara
Yes,
Joy?
I do. I'm thrilled that there's so many on the panel because we each have gone through the valley, and some of us have come out stronger and wiser and proactive, and I'm part of that group, as you are, Tammy. And I appreciate everybody calling in. I have gotten the word out today on several sites and LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and et cetera. So I think that's probably why, and some of the names I do recognize, and thank you so much for calling in. I want to cover a subject that I don't really want to cover, but I believe it's necessary to cover, and it's part of my own story, and that's incest, the family secret. A lot of times we don't even say the word incest, and I believe Nicole Jackson, if I'm correct, has maybe written a book, Incest Out Loud. Am I correct, Nicole?
It is Speak Incest Out Loud, yes.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, so I think it's necessary to say the word. And a lot of times we skirt around it, we don't say it. And I wanted to speak about that tonight because it happened to me within my family circle. And it's the worst of all crimes. If a thief broke into your home and stole some of your possessions, we'd call the police. But if someone breaks into your life and steals your self-worth and cripples your ability to trust and beats you down with fear and shame and then blame when you tell, as an adult, as I did, and if that person was your father, brother, grandfather, uncle, etc., and you're told not to tell, then you grow into hatred and resentment, and it's one of the secrets that holds us in the tightest of all chains, creating confusion and guilt and fear, and a dungeon in which there is no escape. So I also want to explain a little bit what incest can be, and it isn't always sexual intercourse. It can be touching, fondling, exhibitionism, or even just looking at a little girl without even touching them, if it's a close relative or a relative. And in my case, it was my grandfather, who was a standing deacon in the community and an uncle in my family as well. So many of people go unreported, and we're sitting next to them in community outreaches and churches, and it's a huge, huge problem. 75% are committed by the child's own parents or relatives. Victims are usually between the ages of 8 and 12, and it goes on for many years. 20% are under 7. And one out of four girls have been sexually assaulted under the age of 18. And there's a lot of people in prison. I think it's like 79% of prison inmates and 90% of prostitutes interviewed have been molested as children. So I would like to just say that much and then leave it open, and then I have something else to share in a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, and I've got a topic, as you know, from my post on Facebook that I want to bring up as well. So let's open this up to the panel. All the mics are open. Is there anyone who would like to comment on what Barbara Joy has shared with us so far?
Yes, this is Linda from New Jersey. Thank you, Bobby Jubb, for sharing that. Bobby Joy, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
My platform has been, the reason I even exposed my abuse was to protect my niece, because my father molested me at age 6 and getting to be about that age. And I knew it was going to happen again.
Mm.
And they disowned me, but it did happen. And, you know, I tried to expose it, but no one wants to believe this. Even the extended family, no one wants to believe that your own father can do this to or your own grandfather would do this. I've heard
mm-hmm.
so many reasons, and so I'm just so glad you brought up this topic tonight, because it really needs to be talked about.
You're right. It really does, and it created nightmares and panic attacks and anxiety and all that. You're living a tormented life until you start uncovering it and dealing with it.
Right.
Well, we know from the statistics that, you know, the children, you know, one in three girls and one in five boys.
Yes.
And we also know that 90% of the children know their perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that out of that 90%, 67%, around 67% is a family member. So, and then the other 33% is a caregiver. So, you know, if, you know, all those kids are being molested, and we know that, you know, 67% of the majority are family members, it's in more families than we think. You know, Barbara Joy, your comment is right on. We're very, very comfortable as a society talking about child trafficking, because that happens over there. But we are not comfortable talking about what happens in the family, and we're really not comfortable talking about the word incest, because it's taboo. And that's something that we've got to understand. You know, people are becoming a little more comfortable talking about child abuse itself. It's not a sexy subject to bring up among cocktails or a Tupperware party, but you know, it's something that we need to talk about. And I think a huge piece of that is helping the normies and our survivors as well get more comfortable talking about it. As our survivors who are on a healing journey get a little more comfortable with it, but the average Joe that didn't endure it, they don't want to talk about it, especially such a tough word like incest.
Right.
Hi, yes. This is Nicole, if I may, in California.
Sure,
you know, I chose the title Speak Incest Out Loud out of a list of working titles, and that just struck me because that is that keeping that word silent breeds power and control into the perpetrator, I believe.
Yeah.
And it allows the secret to continue because no one wants to use that word, you know. And even early on, I've been on a healing journey for years, but when I started writing the book some 5 years ago, every time I said the word incest, I would raise my shoulders and lower my voice because it was still even uncomfortable for me, and I thought I was on this, you know, great journey. And in using it, it has removed the power of the act and the word just from me, you know. And it's so much so that, you know, when I speak to someone, I say, you're an author, what's the name of the book? Oh, it's Speak Incest Out Loud, and I move on, and I have to stop and really pay homage to the person who may be finding that out about me for the first time and realize that they're dealing with not only the word, but the reaction to that, you know, being related
right.
to me. But I have been able to knock that control, the control of that word out of my life. It no longer has power over me. And it's just by using it and recognizing what it is as the truth, you know.
For a reason, children don't tell, not only because they have been told not to tell, but it's much, much more than the violation of a child's body. It's the ultimate betrayal of their trust. The people that are supposed to protect them and comfort them and be their caregivers or caretakers and their closest, you know, buddies. I mean, you know, I don't know who it was in your case, but it was my grandfather and an uncle. And, you know, while we're suffering from the most severe emotional violation of abuse, our loyalty and love for their abuser make it impossible to speak up.
Yeah, I was three when it first was initiated, and it was by my father. And being the youngest child and, you know, was considered, you know, his princess. You know, the sun rose and set over my head and his, but I had to learn that was all this set up by the predator, you know, for the kill. So imagine, you know, at 3 years old, the confusion of this is feeling, right? But this is my king. Like, how does that work in a toddler's mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Right.
It's that betrayal.
Well, one thing,
of
absolutely. A couple of things, and I want to go to see if the rest of the panel have some comments to make, but I want to make this really quickly. One thing I've noticed is, you know, we have two types of child molestation when it comes, that I have recognized with all the stories I've heard. You've got, you know, where it's taken, it's ripped from them, you know, the young child is raped by a family member, you know, with a lot of pain and anguish. But there's a second type, too, and both of them are terrible, and both of them are betrayal. But the second type is, you're my special child. We have this special relationship. You know, and both of them are very, very damaging in different ways. So some of the damage is in the same way, but it's still a betrayal. You know, and that, you know, that leads to a lot of narcissism as well, in my opinion. That, you know, because even when these folks become damaged, you know, they were told at a young age, you know, you're my, you know, like you said, you're my special child, you're my special princess. And it can happen, you know. The other thing I wanted to mention is it's not just men. You know, we have more and more and more people in a lot of our NASCA family members who were, you know, men were molested by women, and some of our girl, you know, women are molested by some women as well. So it's not limited to just, you know, men molesting little girls. Well, it's a broad spectrum. So I just wanted to get that in. I want to ask William from Alabama. Good evening, William. I wanted to give you an opportunity to make a comment. If not, that's fine. The mic is yours.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of problems with that because, like, my wife or ex-wife now, but she was molested by her uncle. And that had some problems, too, in the relationships and things. So I can understand some of that stuff, what you're talking about.
Well, may I ask, you know, and anybody on the show, I want you to guys only answer what you feel comfortable. But are you a survivor or are you an ex-spouse or a spouse of a survivor or both?
I'm a ex-spouse of a survivor, and I'm also back. I got a law enforcement background.
Okay.
I don't know.
Very
cool. Okay.
Well,
thank you, William, for your service. Because you've seen a lot of it and you've heard a lot of it.
Oh yeah,
right. And
I lived by the Mexican border for 20 years.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
So you've seen
it's
trafficking and yeah.
It's very important for us to recognize spouses of survivors as well. I know Bill, our founder, you know, he's a survivor, but his wife Christina is not. But she's very, very supportive of our community. And you know, a lot of times, you know, when you marry someone like that, you're marrying a broken person. You know, you're marrying somebody who needs to get on a healing path. That's not an easy path, William.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Any other comments, Mr. William?
Well, that was just one of the things when I married her, and you know, she only revealed it to me because we were married.
Right.
And that was something that she still had a little bit of problems dealing with, so, but that's
sure.
On in the history now, so.
Right. Exactly. Well, thank you for your service and thank you for being here. We did identify the 702 area code, which is Sylvie, who's calling in from Nevada. Good evening, Sylvie. How are you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can.
Can you hear me?
We Beautiful, can hear you. Welcome
you
to the
me,
show.
You couldn't hear me before, and I really need to be heard tonight.
Okay. Well,
no.
we have a very, very large panel tonight, and, you know, I want to welcome you and thank you for being here. You've been listening to the show, so would you like to comment on what has been spoken about tonight?
Yes, I would. I can't imagine the trauma of incest. I never had incest. I'm a child abuse and a domestic violence survivor. And just got absolutely crippled. But I cannot imagine. So this is a real education for me. And I would just like to say that today I'm a little traumatized because I got lied to by my trauma therapist. I caught her in a lie. So anyway, I'm just all ears. I'm just all ears, y'all. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you for being here, Sylvie. Thank you for the support. You know, NASCA supports all, NASCA supports, you know, all spectrums of child abuse.
Yeah.
Physical, mental, emotional, neglect. Sexual. We support. We're a community who supports everyone. Let's go to Darlene in Tennessee because, like I said, I want to give everybody an opportunity, and then we'll go back to Barbara Joy. Darlene, do you have some comments or a question for on this topic for Barbara Joy?
Well, I'm a survivor of just about everything: child abuse, sexual incest, also.
Right.
Even though, like, at times it was not directly from my parents, but it was them standing right there and telling me I got to lay still while one of their friends does something to my 3-year-old body, you know, and sell me to men. You know, I was a victim of child pornography, child prostitution that they forced me to do, you know, still call that, and then I do remember a couple of times my daddy did have sex with me. And so there was so much dysfunction. It's not funny. I became kind of slow because I was afraid of reacting. I never knew when somebody was going to be behind me and hit me or anything, you know. And I had an uncle, a cousin that tried to rape me when I was 9 years old, you know, playing a little game with me, you know, and thank God I got out of that, you know. But then my stepmom even got a couple people, somebody to rape me later on, and she even held me down while her son raped me when I was a teenager. So
you're very brave,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, you're a very brave woman, Darlene. You've been on the show, and I know a good bit of your story. And you're an amazing woman. You're a survivor. You've come through this. So you're a beautiful
only
human being. So don't ever forget that. That's right.
Only
that's
by the grace of God. That's the only thing that saved me. The grace of God.
Amen.
And I look up to you, Bobby Joe. I look up to you, and I'm glad I got to watch some of the videos.
Thank you.
You sent me. I really enjoyed it, and you're a very strong woman and very inspirational. Thank you.
Well, I never used to be, but I am now. I've stood up, and like you, I've gone through not only incest, but clergy sex abuse and rape and pornography and infidelities and various things like that, domestic violence with verbal abuse. So, but I wouldn't want to go back there, but I am so glad that I'm out of the valley and teaching a support group. So if any of you on the panel need help or have not healed from it, you can contact me and get my book. You can get my support group, Beauty Out of Ashes, too.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing, Darlene. We love you, and thank you for Barbara Joy for those comments. I'm going to go to Ann, calling in from Pennsylvania. Ann, would you like to comment or ask Barbara Joy a question in reference to the conversation we've began?
It always amazes me how hard the perpetrators have worked to create this public persona where, you know, people can't imagine that they would actually do something like that.
Mm.
And they use their prominence in the community to deflect a lot. I was sexually abused by my adoptive father. Some people say it's incest. Some say it's not because we weren't biologically related. But
it was. Yeah, it was.
Well, because, I mean, he was your father, you know, adoptive
mm-hmm.
father, and you looked up to him as a parental
mm-hmm.
person. I would think yes.
And it you know, I went through a lot of being paid for. Essentially, they call it fees and stuff, but you know, essentially you're paying for a baby. And then, you know, a lot of people, kids will say to adopted kids, oh, your mom didn't even want you. So that added to it.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah, well,
adoption
is another huge subject that
mm-hmm.
we haven't talked about much. And we adopted
mm-hmm.
our firstborn because I couldn't conceive a child. My body literally
mm-hmm.
switched off. So I can relate to that. You don't even know who you are, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's a piece of
mm-hmm.
the puzzle missing unless you know who you are.
Right?
Yeah, when I had
right.
told my adoptive
Absolutely.
Mother, you know, she said, oh, you're probably a whore just like your mom was.
Oh, that's
Aww.
A horrible thing.
You know,
I'm
and
so
that's
sorry.
Why
oh
that you know, that you've seduced him because your father is an upright man and wouldn't do something like that.
Mm.
Yeah, they put
mm.
the shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Right. Well, everybody on this absolutely. Everybody on this panel, including our guest host, are survivors, and we've got a supporter of survivor, Mr. William. You know, we've overcome a lot. If you're on this panel and you've endured abuse, and you've connected with NASCA or another, you're on a path to healing. So it's an honor to be on that path with you guys and help you. I'm a survivor myself of physical, mental. Some sexual, so I get it. So just remember, you know, we're all strong and we can continue to grow strong. They can't hold us down. They can tell us whatever they want. You know, I grew up being told, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was unwanted. You know, I'm
mm-hmm.
dumb, stupid, idiot. This world would be better off had you never been born. So I know those hurtful
mm-hmm.
words. But what I have learned is they don't define me. You know, they can,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, my biggest abuser is dead, but she didn't define who I am. She doesn't get to define who I am. If that's the way she saw me, fine. You know, that's her prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not who Tammy is. And she doesn't get to define
mm-hmm.
who I am, period. You know, I'm not
right.
dumb. I'm not stupid. I'm not worthless. This world, it's not better off because I'm in it, you know, if I wasn't in it. That's just simply not true. I want to go to Lisa from Michigan. Lisa from Michigan, do you have a comment that you'd like to make or a question to Barbara Joy?
Hi. I have some observations as I'm listening. My heart just goes out to all of you, and sounds like we've all had some rough experiences in life. And I'm so glad to hear that, by the grace of God, many people have gotten out of that valley. I'm a survivor of child abuse, mostly physical and emotional. My story is very different. I was violently attacked when I was 18 by a man in a ski mask, so I didn't know my perpetrator. I was knifed and suffocated and raped. The crazy thing is that through that experience, there was healing in the relationship with my father, who had been abusive.
Mm-hmm.
We learned a lot about one another in having to face that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing where hope can come from. I'm also a counselor. I was a school counselor for many years and have worked with many children who were trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've heard repeated is you know, this inability to tell somebody. And there are so many things that weigh into that. But as a counselor, I did play therapy oftentimes, and one of the things that I observed and learned is that to ask a child right out, "Are you being sexually abused?" can actually close them off. And research actually shows if you ask them a second time, they'll never tell you. And as a young counselor, I remember counseling a boy. I was sure that's what he was experiencing. I think I was too forward. And, you know, I now know many, many years later, he's in prison for sexually abusing children. So there's a lot of finesse to getting kids to do what they need to do to be safe, isn't there?
Yep. There sure are. I speak to men in prisons, and I go right in the prisons all over the world and speak to sex offenders, and I've learned a lot from them, and I've learned a lot about myself as well. They often have been molested, and in the heart of every person attracted to children is a lost child. Something bad happened in their childhood that creates twisted boundaries to prey on children. They've become a child lost and an inability to exist in the adult world. There's deep emotional wounds in a lot of us, and especially the perpetrators, whether they've gone through incest themselves. I don't know if my uncle was molested by my grandfather when he was a little boy or how that happened, but it creates deep wounds. And then we become, like you said, going into prison, as a perpetrator. They're angry. They've become alcoholics or drug addicts. And and it is power and control, creating rage, fear, isolation, rejection, intimidation. And then they act out with the children easily, accepting them. Children accept us. Right. You know, they accept the adults. And that's why we're pulled in. Easily.
Yeah. And when children are told over and over again, "This is our secret, don't tell anybody," they tend to not trust the people who are trying to help them by asking questions. So it's really important that we just develop positive relationships with children around us so that they do develop trust and can speak out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is a big risk.
Thank you for that, Lisa. Absolutely. Let me go to, thank you so much for sharing, Lisa. Let me go to Laura in Wisconsin. Laura, would you like to make any comments or have a question for Barbara Joy?
My story is kind of different with my abusers. My abusers were, I had a lot of incest. It came from three generations of men. My brother, my father, and my grandfather, as well as my uncle, and then many more that I won't even get into. But my brother actually told me that he was never abused, that my father taught him to abuse me because he thought it would be a good lesson for him, not hurt anybody else. I know it sounds bizarre, and I still can't wrap my head around it. It's still unbelievable to me. I still feel surreal. Like, how can anybody think that? Sorry.
Wait. That's okay,
Laura,
honey. We'll just remember. Go ahead.
Laura.
Go ahead, Barbara.
This is Barbara.
Don't apologize.
I want to reach out to you with compassion because you've gone through so much, maybe even more than any of us, I don't know. But with compassion, you feel another's pain. And that's what I'm feeling right now, and I think a lot of us on the panel are. And my heart goes out to you. You've suffered enough. it's time to come out of the valley, and maybe you already have, and I'm proud of you because you are not only a survivor, you're a thriver. You've come out of the valley, and even to pick up the phone and call on the show tonight shows that you are so much more than you even know. You're going to help somebody else that's gone through it. You probably already have started to do that. You can walk in somebody else's shoes. Yeah. And that's awesome. Shame makes us feel dirty and unclean, and secrecy is isolation. But we're not isolating anymore. We're standing up for ourselves. We're talking, we're telling, we're shouting incest out loud, and that's what we're doing on the show tonight. And I'm proud of every single one of you that's called in tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Barbara Joy.
Thank you, everyone.
May I ask a question for Bobby Joy?
Yes. Who is this?
This is Lisa.
Okay.
And I'm listening to Laura, and I'm wondering, you know, you've mentioned isolation quite a few times, and isolation is a tendency among survivors, but it's also not a healthy tendency. And right now with the quarantining and such and the coronavirus, there's a lot of imposed isolation. And I'm wondering how other survivors are handling that. Mm. What resources have you found to be valuable? You know, Laura, maybe you could tell us, do you have somebody that you can reach out to and talk to at this time?
Yes, I have a therapist who specializes in trauma and dissociative identity disorder, which I have. Mm-hmm. And I have a psychiatrist, and they spend every other day, they take turns calling me to make sure that when I'm isolating because of this imposed isolation, that I'm not isolating. You know,
wonderful.
Still contact with the outside world. So, and the NASCA show and the NASCA page has been a lifesaver during my lowest moment. There's
actually, Laura is
people on the NASCA page that I can call.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
Laura is actually my trailer tonight, so she's part of the hosting panel, which is absolutely awesome. I depend on Laura to run this show, and we love her.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it, girl. Okay. Well, like I said, we have a large panel. I think we've gone through everybody. What I'd like to do before I go back to Barbara Joy is, if anyone wants to have another go at this topic or a question for Barbara Joy, now's the time, because I know that Barbara Joy has another topic that she wants to bring up, but I want to give everybody plenty of time to discuss this. Anybody?
Well, I'd like to say something. This is Sylvie. I'd like to talk about the societal broad strokes. And the truth is that incest is mostly, I would say, in the 95 to 98 percentile committed by male, and is based on the male privilege in our society. It's a dirty little secret that happens behind closed doors, usually by the head of the household.
Right.
And usually it's a situation where a lot of times the mother betrays the child because she wants her nice lifestyle and she doesn't want to rock the boat. Okay? So she basically kid.
One thing I'd like to say about that is the stats are changing on that. We know more and more and more that women are the perpetrators as well. So that is something that I want to make sure everybody knows that it is not just men who are the perpetrators.
Yes, they are,
but
not to the degree that the men are. Not nearly to the degree or the percentage.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. That's true.
She's not saying that it's not women. What she's saying, and I have the statistic right in front of me, 80% of all sexual abuse is incest. Men are 97% responsible for reported abuse.
There you go. That's what
crime.
I was saying.
Of what's
and it
reported,
is a crime.
Of what's reported. Of what's reported,
of those
absolutely.
Of those reported, yes. Of those no. reported, yes.
Okay.
200,000.
I know a lot of men who, have told me and confided in me, that knew about my story, had confided in me about their aunts and their mother and everything else, you know.
Right.
And, but
right.
they go unreported because they're not really a man.
Correct.
If they go blab, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta
correct.
Be strong.
Men are afraid to tell because they think it feels good. And then they go into, relationship after relationship, and they don't tell. But I've been told by men as well that they've been molested. So it's a broad scope. But 500,000 children are being molested in the United States, and only 100,000 of those cases are reported.
Correct.
Yes,
correct.
They
hold on. So those statistics. Hold on. Let me finish my thought. The statistics can be skewed because of not everything is reported. You know, the statistics
right.
is just what has been reported on, and I think Barbara Joy just hit the nail on the head. Is men don't report often.
No,
they just don't. So. All right, well, thank you for that comment, Sylvie.
Yep.
I really appreciate that.
You're
is
very
there
welcome.
Anybody else? Absolutely. Is there anybody else that would like to make a comment or ask
yes.
a question to Barbara Joy on this subject? Who was that?
They got that. Men have that stigma where they're, no matter what, you know, they got to be a man. They got to man up. They got to be the man of the house. You know, don't
mm-hmm.
cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these rules that's
mm-hmm.
expected of. More so of the boys than of the women, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Still, as a child, we were taught not to cry, you know, no voice, no feelings. But still, the majority of men have not told or will not tell because of their embarrassment.
I live with a man like that, and he's talking now. He's telling me now, and we're talking about his father's death by suicide. And he used to poke fun of me with PTSD, and now he realizes he had it too. For 30 years, he couldn't talk about it, 30-some years. But I've encouraged him. I've gone to prison conferences and domestic violence conferences and come home with workshop books, and he's gone in workshops, and it's been very helpful. But I've pushed for him to talk about it. We have our morning devotions after breakfast, and I want to read a book about sex addictions, and he's like, no, I don't want to read, or pornography, because that happened in my marriage, and he's like, no, I don't want, I'm like, honey, I need to know why you did what you did, and I realize now why he cheated on me and why the pornography came in
mm-hmm.
because of his father's suicide. He comforted himself with pornography and with women, so
mm-hmm.
you know, the men don't talk about it. He was shut up and shut down for so long.
Mm.
But thank God we're still together, and God healed it and is healing, continuing to heal both of us. But we're very much in love and very much together. 54 years?
Oh, congratulations.
Thank
wow.
you. That's a miracle.
See,
oh, congratulations.
I got something I wanted to say, but y'all will find out Monday when I get supposed to be on, you know.
Who is this?
But
is this?
With dealing with
who's
the incest
speaking?
With
Who's speaking?
Who's speaking?
Darlene.
Okay,
go Darlene.
Ahead.
Sure.
Okay. Dealing with the incest with like my stepmom held me down when her son raped me, I did get pregnant and I had a baby. I was so traumatized by the rapes and the continuous beatings and the dragging through the house and the kicking and everything else and being belted all over my entire body even as a teenager and go by the hair of my head through the house and everything. I couldn't think of my own, okay? I was like their personal robot, okay? So I did not even realize I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I did not realize until she didn't even get me no medical care. I had him at home after she put a coat hanger up.
Oh, no.
And I had him he was alive, and then she stabbed him.
And then she what?
Oh, honey.
Stabbed him.
To death?
So she's never going to have to pay because nobody knew a baby existed. So I just think I got to live with this the rest of my life without any kind of, you know, any kind of, you know.
Darling, I'm so sorry that you've gone through that. That baby is in heaven waiting for you, as hard as that is to even talk about. People go through these things and they don't talk about it. So you are to be commended for coming on the show and even saying that secret that you've kept so long.
Yeah, it is tough. It's really, at times, that's one thing in my life I can't never get over. Because I held them and I bonded with them, and then she went down and got them.
So sorry.
I was, you know, laying in the floor and I couldn't get up. I had a blocked memory after all that, and I didn't know nothing like that happened. And then years later in therapy, it came out, and boy, I kept trying to kill myself, everything. Because the pain, I just could not fathom how any of that could have happened, you know. It was just... I didn't know how to deal with it.
Of course not.
So the people that's out there know that things like this could happen or might have happened to them. They should know that they need to speak up and don't be afraid to tell their story, you know.
Exactly.
Darlene, that story had close to home because it happened to me.
Oh,
it did?
Yes.
Laura?
Yes,
Laura?
Yeah, Laura?
I'm so sorry.
Laura, I had to call you privately, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
If y'all want to exchange numbers, I'll be glad to get you guys each the numbers before you hang up, so... At the end of the show, why don't you two just hang on, and I'll get you each other's numbers, if that's what you want.
Darlene, I want to say I'm so sorry, and the pain is real, and you are so brave to talk about it, I give you all the credit in the world. You are a strong, courageous woman.
Thank you.
And
you are strong,
goes to you. I wish I knew what to say, but wow. I admire you for having the bravery to talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm writing that in my second book that I'm working on presently, so it's going to be out there.
Oh, good. Okay. Praise God for that.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Because I personally know her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he knows me. William does.
Okay.
Well, you got a friend there then.
Great.
Yeah.
It's good.
He's got lots of friends, the better. Yeah,
he's got a whole family behind you right now. You've got a whole family, a massive family behind you.
Well, Laura, now we're sisters, so, you know, you got me for you, too, okay?
And I'm here for you.
Well, Darlene, for you, too, as Sylvia, and I'm here for you.
Well,
thank you.
Anybody can call me.
Absolutely. Well, we are building a survivor community, and we call ourselves the NASCA family, and we do that for a reason. You know, a lot of us are detached from our normal families for obvious reasons. So we have built the NASCA family, and we're building a survivor community, and that is something that we all can be proud of and lean on each other and, you know, support each other. So that's absolutely amazing. I love you, Darlene. I love you, Laura. You both are proud card carrying NASCA members, as Bill would say. So thank you for sharing. It's an honor and a privilege to be part of your healing process. So thank you very much. Okay, it is right at 9 o'clock. I've got 8:54, so we have 35 minutes left, and I know that Barbara Joy had another subject that she wanted to bring up. So unless somebody has a comment to make really quickly on this subject, I want to turn it back over to Barbara Joy so she can share the other topic that she wants to bring up. So anyone before we go?
We've really had a lot to discuss and an awful lot of secrets and a lot. It's very heavy. Mm. And I don't want to make it any heavier than it already is. My healing process, I think we should probably, share a little bit about our healing, was when I courageously faced the clergy that had abused me. I had watched Oprah in 1998 on Family Secrets, and it was one of the first times she had, I think she had men on the show, and they all shared their stories, and I was watching it with intent because our middle son had gotten married, and the show was off. I turned the TV off. I was bringing addicts in the house. I was codependent with them and rescuing and in and out of prison. And it was an 8-year period where I did things that I never should have brought males in and out of our house. And, my husband would go to the drug rehab and bring them to church, and we'd connect and have them over for dinner afterwards. But with the healing journey that I've been on, one of them was a heroin addict and in and out of prison, many women, sexual abuse, and that's the link that he and I had that we connected with in prison. And then he got out, went into drug rehab with my help, and came in and out. And the last time I saw him was in 1955, and he threw his recovery devotional Bible or gave it to me, and I'll tell you, that was my lifeline. It's an NIV recovery devotional Bible, and it's the 12-step Bible that for the very, very first time, I'm a pastor's daughter, and I grew up in a Christian home and had many Bibles, but this particular one I had never seen in my life, and it has a lot of connections in the 12 steps within the Bible on addictions, and I had, my parents didn't talk about that with me at all, and I didn't know anything about anything. I was so green and didn't understand about a lot of things because they just didn't tell me. So that was a lifeline to my healing, as well as facing the clergy in a sex abuse case after going back to the campground the following year after watching Oprah was in 1999. I saw a best friend that I hadn't seen in 27 years, and she'd just come out of a drug rehab. She and I connected deeply, and she was molested by the same pastor at the campground. Now, for years, we have a cottage there, and for years, we were going there in the cabin, and the memory was so shoved until she brought it up and until I realized she'd gone through it. So she was one of four that went through the sex abuse case with me with a committee set up by my childhood denomination. So that was another part of my healing, facing this clergy. I didn't even know he was alive. It was something I never, ever would intend to do. But that was a part of my inner healing, to actually walk in the room. I almost had to pick myself up off the floor. And, but it was healing because I told my story to him as well as the 8 clergy that were sitting at the table and a psychologist that was sitting between me and the sex offender. And my voice was quiet and shy and withdrawn, and they had to turn up the tape recorder. And I realized I need to face him. I need to face myself. I need to let the walls down. Intimacy is letting the walls down. Intimacy. And I spoke the truth for an hour and a half to him. And 7 weeks later, after I forgave him in this room, he fell down the stairs and broke his back and died. And I write a chapter in the book about how I faced him and all the panic attacks and things I went through. So that was part of my soul healing. And we're not taught about soul healing or emotional healing. And that for me was a huge step to moving forward. And that's when I prayed and prayed to get something in my hands and not have to create it. And my beauty out of ashes came as a result of meeting a woman at a graduation party that was starting to teach it. And I've taught it for about 9 seasons. So I've had a lot of tools now, and I'm so thankful to be able to share those with you.
Can I?
We are very thankful to have you.
Yes. Yeah. Bobby Jones.
Is that Lisa?
This is Lisa. You know, I'm so glad that you brought up the topic of healing. That's something that that I think is so important. And your story and my story have so many differences and yet so many commonalities. Mm. And when I look at my healing process, I have never faced my perpetrator, and I will never face my perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't identified at the time that it happened. Mm. He was actually identified 35 years later.
Wow.
And so in the summer of 2018, out of the blue, I got a phone call, and the case was reopened, this cold case. I had never told my adult children. PTSD
right, me too.
Was immediately
all
where
of
I
us.
Went to.
Yeah.
And it was rough. It was a rough year with so many details. I wrote a book about it. My name is Lisa, and it's pending publication. But what I found to be healing, I didn't get to face my perpetrator like you did.
Mm-hmm.
But I started journaling, and
good.
Really I purposely bought black paper and white pens, and I started journaling white on black. And
wow.
I think my first lines were, because life is upside down and inside out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And over the next year, I journaled every day. But I would journal, and whatever emotion, whatever was the topic that was in my heart that day, I would then Google scripture on anger, scripture on revenge, you know, whatever that topic was. And then I would write whatever scriptures came up.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found over the year was that God and I were having a dialogue, and we were writing a bright future onto these dark pages.
Mm,
and
awesome.
That journal actually became my book. But what it led to was my case was then closed again because of an old statute of limitations. He'll never be arrested.
Yeah.
It was closed the day of there's a lot going on. The Me Too movement, the Kavanaugh hearings were that day. Just a lot of things in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 35th anniversary of the rape, I decided I need to find God's purpose for this, or purpose in this, from this.
Right.
And so the healing for me has been to write a book to encourage others, I've proposed legislation at the state and national level and have some bills that are under consideration right now, and just, you know, really working with other victims and survivors, counseling. I've been speaking, and just using that story for a purpose makes it worthwhile.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, because God has a call on all of our lives, whether we know it or not, or whether we know Him or not.
And I think it's important to know that our stories are not pointless. There are things that we can, you know, Scripture says to use our pain for other, to help others who will suffer the same thing.
Right.
I think
absolutely. Let me go to Nicole.
I was about to go
to Nicole. So, because I know Nicole, you started journaling too, didn't you? Or wasn't that how you started?
No, I wasn't journaling, but I was speaking to my family members who. You know, two of the other girls suffered, you know, abuse at the hand of my father in similar ways, but then my brothers just by physical and verbal abuse. And so whenever we were together, I always talked about it. And I didn't realize that was me on my healing journey, but it wasn't their way of healing. And they still have not yet approached their healing. But two things that really helped me, and thank you, Lisa and Bobby Joy, both, because this ties in with that. For me, you know, I am a woman of faith, and everyone's walk in life is different, and faith or not having a faith is very different, and I openly realize that.
Mm-hmm. But for me, it was a matter of realizing that, you know, my Father in heaven gives all of us a choice, and certainly he wants us to choose him.
Mm-hmm.
And my father made bad choices, and what happened to me was a consequence of those poor choices of his. So I really, I mean, talk about image, guided imagery. I just imagined in my forgiveness to him, because he had passed away by the time I did this, but just imagined placing him in the arms of my Heavenly Father and saying, his story is between you and him, and it's no longer of me. You know, I'm turning it over. I forgive him because I have a son who needs me to lead him in a right way. And that lifted a burden from me that I just can't even share with you. And in writing this book and telling my story all those years to my family was the groundwork. And I now realize that it allowed me to be placed back on the path for which I was born, you know.
Right.
I just imagine that I was just carried through all of that to survive that, so I can then reach back, get on the journey or on the path for which I was born, so I can help the next person. And also, I have never allowed secrets in my home. We weren't allowed to use that word. And so now, even last night, which is really weird that we're on this call today, my son, he's 23, and he came up with a bunch of questions that he had for me all of a sudden and asked me about my mom and dad again. And I'm so blessed that I am able to openly have those conversations and let him know the truth of my journey. So those are some key points along the way that have just helped relieve the burden from me.
Thank God that you have a son that you can share that with, that he's open to, with you.
He's
That's
so
wonderful.
Empathetic, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows his empathy for me in his care of other people and just how he cares about his friends or people he may meet on his college campus. It's just amazing.
He's got compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Okay, does anyone else have a comment on this subject?
Yes, I have a comment.
Or anything that...
This is Sylvie.
This?
I have a comment. This is Sylvie.
Go ahead, Sylvie. Go ahead.
My healing has been over years and years and years. Basically, I was the living embodiment of the scum of the earth that my dad called me all throughout my 20s. You know, prostitution, drug addiction, eating disorder after eating disorder, on and on. I'll be doing my talk in 2 weeks on Monday, the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found Alcoholics Anonymous at the age of 27. Sober and clean for 20 years. That's when I met my violent nightmare husband from hell. Profoundly violent. Okay, escape from him. But I had a lot of spirituality and recovery under my belt. When my recovery really accelerated, I was 2 years ago during the obscene Kavanaugh hearings, okay, I had the most profound spiritual awakening. It happened in a moment out of time. I am still living it, where I am awake. I am much, much
yeah.
more awake than the average person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I see the dysfunction, the despair, the lies, the hypocrisy. I see everything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I see the beauty too, but you know, I'm writing a book called Why I'm Here, because I know why I'm on the planet.
Right.
I'm on the planet to serve. My book is a service to humanity because it has the solution, Bear of Humanity, in it, in my first chapter. Mm-hmm. It's profound. It's profound,
awesome.
Okay?
Let me ask,
is the comedy. Go ahead.
Finish your thought.
Life is the comedy in the midst of the tragedy. I use a lot of swearing because I swear like a longshoreman. My God is a woman, the Holy Mama, Mother God. That's my higher power, okay? And my book is not only profound, it's hilarious because humor is very powerful.
Hmm.
That's all I wanted to say.
Let me ask you, Sylvie, you said that you're telling your story. So if I'm understanding correctly, you'll be telling your story on the NASCA show Monday?
Yes, ma'am.
The 27th?
I'm the guest speaker.
Monday
the 27th. Monday
the
27th. Yes, Monday the 27th. Can't wait.
Monday, April the 27th, Sylvia will be the guest speaker.
I'm going to be reading my chapter. I'm going to be reading my chapter, Childhood in the Triple Whammy, about my childhood abuse. I'm going to be reading it over the air.
I will be there.
Okay, and that will probably be either Linda or Joe.
Is that Darlene? Darlene, I'll be there for yours. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. When is yours, Darlene?
Yeah, I'll be doing it Monday, this coming Monday.
This coming Monday? Okay, so
okay.
Darlene will be sharing her story on the NASCA show this coming Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Linda, I don't know. Well, I haven't made that schedule yet, so it'll be either probably Linda or Joe who will be hosting
right.
that. So, guys, call in and support Darlene this
mm-hmm.
Monday.
Please.
Okay.
Can't wait, Darlene. I'll be there for you.
Thank you. I'll be there for you, too.
I'll be there, Darlene.
I want to talk about my healing journey.
Okay,
right
and quick. Who is this? Is this Darlene? Yeah, we've got about
Darlene.
18 minutes. Well, I'll need a minute to close the show. So we've got a little bit of time. So Darlene, you want to share? Go ahead.
Yeah, what really started my healing journey is, well, I did see therapists before I seen this particular psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist changed my life because he believed my story. And I asked him why he believed my stories, because nobody ever believed them before.
Mm.
And he says,
right.
well, whatever you ask, he asked a question, I answer right away. And even
mm-hmm.
though it's hard to take, it still fits in the story. You can tell it's not a lie.
Right.
He said that's how he knew I was telling the truth. And having a psychiatrist and having the psychological people around you that believe you, it changes a lot of things.
It does.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said that because, you know, when I posted on my Facebook today that I was hosting the show and Barbara Joy was going to be my professional co-host, I had mentioned that I wanted to talk about validation. Well, this is a good segue to go to bring it up. You know, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it because we don't have a lot of time left. But
right.
Darlene, to me, validation, particularly when folks are at the beginning of their healing path, is so, so, so important.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, today
yeah.
I had somebody in a different spectrum of my life throw validation in my face and tell me, you're doing it again. You're trying to, this is an ex-boyfriend. You're trying to get validation.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought up a lot of memories, and you know, you don't even want to know my response to him. But it did remind me of the importance of validation, particularly when we're at the beginning of a healing journey. You know, what happened to you was not your fault. I understand. What can I do to help? You have an amazing therapist, and I don't want to steal Laura's thunder, but you know, Laura's got a fabulous support system right now, but she had one from hell at the beginning that I just want to fly up to Wisconsin and just slap the woman. I will never forget Darlene. Not Darlene, excuse me. Laura sharing that story, that just infuriated me, the way she treated Laura, you know, when Laura first divulged her story. It enraged us all. So if we can get that validation, and, you know, I will never get the validation, and this is one point I had today, I will never get the validation from the person that I deserve it from. So I have
mm-hmm.
to get validation
right.
from other people. I get it from my NASCA family. Mm-hmm. We can get it from each other. We can get it from a therapist. We can get it from, you know, whomever we trust to tell our story to, and who is ever honored to be a part of our story. Because we have to remember, sometimes we tell people and it's not received well. So, you know, try again.
You know,
try again.
I
you
could
know,
just
first
share a quick moment. This is,
sure.
this
Who's
is Lisa
this?
Again.
Okay.
This is Lisa again, and when my case first happened, when I was just 18, the investigator did not believe my story. He thought it was just too
mm-hmm.
far-fetched,
mm.
and so the case really was not handled well. It was 35 years put on a shelf in the back of my mind, when the next investigator called to tell me that they had identified this person. And that investigator drove 2 hours to my home to tell me, and the first thing he said was, "I am so sorry for what happened. I believe you."
Yeah.
And I think that was such a healing moment. Just to know after all those years somebody knew that it did happen. And in my book, I've had to change names because the perpetrator is at large and there's some safety issues. And that second investigator, the one that came to visit me, I gave him the last name Croyer because it sounds very similar to the French word for "I believe you." Because that was just such a huge, he left such an impression.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, thank you for sharing
after
that.
He believed you, I hope he got, got what you deserved. You know, since he believed you, I hope that they did
justice.
Something about it. You know what I'm saying?
Justice.
You know, it was too late in my case. The rape test kit, the DNA, everything had been lost. So, but sometimes our justice doesn't come in a court of law.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. You know, if you try to confront, you might not never get the validation from the people you need it from.
Oh, definitely.
Because usually, as I say in my book also, that they'll end up denying it and they'll end up blaming you for it and saying you're just crazy or whatever, or you deserved it, or all these different things. But no, they never did such a thing. It's in your head, you know.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
but
why
that's
I made the
lie that,
we...
that you're told and the false beliefs that you're believing. So you know what's the truth, and you know that you're not a terrible person or whatever you've been told.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I made the comment that we may not get the validation from the people who we deserve it from, but we can get validation, and sometimes it has to be ourselves. Sometimes we can get validation from ourselves.
Absolutely.
So
right.
don't underestimate that power. Sure.
Can I just say one thing? This is Sylvie. Listen, I just wanted to say I have absolutely loved this meeting. I am in love with you ladies. And William, you over there, you too. I love you, William. And that we have it so beat over the normies because of our trauma. We have developed the strength and resilience of 12 lifetimes. We will absolutely sail through this COVID thing like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm. The storm will be over.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we've got about 10 minutes of conversing time. At this point, I want to turn it back to Barbara Joy so she can comment on what she's heard or take it to a different direction. So, Barbara Joy, you've got the mic.
Thank you. I am just so honored to be here tonight and be a part of this wonderful group. I don't think I've ever been on the show with so many people on it. So that's awesome. But I wanted to comment on Lisa's comment about having a purpose, because you never would, we wouldn't set out to say, I want to have this happen to me so I can have a purpose for my life. I questioned my purpose when my children were growing up in our home. I questioned it to my husband. I said, "I don't know why I'm born." And he's like, "You're a wonderful wife and a mother." And I said, "I know I am, but there's got to be a deeper purpose why I'm put on this earth." And I hadn't healed yet. I hadn't written my book. I hadn't faced myself. I hadn't faced anything. But I knew in my gut, in my heart, of hearts, that there was a deeper purpose for me to be on this earth. So courage means to have a strong desire to live with a firm resolution to die for a cause we believe in. And purpose means to discover with an absolute mission why we are born. So that's for each of us. I wanted to give that out because I've written that down, and I've sent it out on Twitter and encouraged people with that, because each of us has a purpose for our life, having gone through all these tragedies, we're rising above them. We've risen above many of them. The statute of limitations was over when I faced the clergy, but it didn't matter because they believed me too. And, you know, it didn't matter if he went to prison. Look what happened to him. He died 7 weeks later, fell down the stairs and broke his back and died all alone. And I am here today because I chose to forgive him. And I moved forward, and he will face, and they all will, all the perpetrators that are gone or dead or, you know, missing, they will face God for all the tragedies that they've done to all of us children, and they will be held accountable for the sins of the fathers passed on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that.
At this point,
what I want to do, I want to go to a couple of people who haven't had an opportunity to speak. I want to start with Anne from Pennsylvania and see if Anne has something that she'd like to share with us. Anne? If not, that's okay.
Yeah, I was. My healing started, oddly enough, when I went to seminary. I had to stay with my adoptive parents because I had a daughter in Maryland that wasn't 18 yet, and she was involved in the juvenile system for stuff that she didn't do but was accused of. And I started coming apart at the seams, and the dean, you know, I was called insubordinate because I wouldn't take sleeping pills because I felt vulnerable. My abuse took place at night, and I didn't want to, I wasn't at the place where I could do it. And the dean, the students told me that, you know, I wasn't smart enough, obviously, because I'm coming apart at the seams, and that God doesn't use people like me. You're of no use to anyone now, and you never will be. You know, eventually
He couldn't be further from the truth, Anne.
You know, one of his stipulations was that I had to go to therapy, and because I didn't go to the right therapist, I got kicked out, but I was blessed to find a therapist that is an amazing trauma therapist. She's seen me for free because I didn't have insurance. And she was a minister in the Lutheran church, but was invited to leave because of her progressive views on women clergy in the church that wasn't accepted at the point.
Right.
So we're it's just been a healing journey, and God has shown me time and time again that, yes, I do have a purpose. And
you sure do.
You know, it's telling my story.
Absolutely.
And
have you written a book, or are you intending to?
I've been thinking about it.
Well, when it's supposed to happen, it will.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing, Anne. That person who told you that couldn't be further from the truth. I think Sylvie had said it, you know, we're strong. We're survivor strong.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to remind ourselves of that because, you know, a lot of us, particularly us who endured, you know, such emotional abuse and verbal abuse, along with others, you know, to be told we're dumb, stupid, worthless, broken. My ex-husband told me one time that I was broken baggage or something like that. I can't remember the term now. I'll think of it later. They couldn't be further from the truth. None of those people have the opportunity to define any of us. So thank you for sharing. At this time, I want to go to William in Alabama and give him an opportunity to speak, to share, or make a comment, or ask Barbara Joy a question. We've got about 5 minutes left. So, William?
Okay. That's about the truth of everything that you guys have covered tonight. And that's really good that you covered all the different areas and stuff. But we always have more family and other people who don't come into the Alaska family and things like that, that there are still a lot out there that need to come and are working on their healing and other things. But that's why we have the family that we do as well as some of the other issues that I know they didn't really touch on, but some of those other issues, and they did touch in a way, because some of that stuff in the legal end of things, it's a different matter on the legal end of stuff. Because, that's like the one law professor told me a long time ago, law is a unique and different animal than you think.
Right.
But yeah. That's what I said. I'm in the law enforcement end of things. I'm a legal assistant and private investigator, retired, but I've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm. I can only imagine.
Yeah, and I worked with CASA, too, which was the Court Appointed Special Advocates as well.
Right.
So,
absolutely. I have a really good friend. He's a normie. He headed up the CASA and the Advocacy Center in Augusta, Georgia, my hometown. And he got involved in it from, being in school and studying and then, serving in the hospital, and he is absolutely amazing. He just recently retired about a year ago, Dan Hillman, but he is absolutely amazing. He's one of my Facebook connections, so, if anybody I'm connected to on Facebook, feel free to look him up. We're running out of time. I wanted to, before I turn it over to Barbara Joy, I want to thank Laura, Lisa, Ann, Darlene, Nicole, William, Sylvie, and we had Linda for a little while, and Bill was listening for a little while. So thank you all for being here, supporting us. It's been an absolutely amazing show. I can't do it without your support. I'd also like to thank the people who streamed in as well. Please feel free to call in the future. And at this point, Barbara Joy, you've got about 2 minutes to make some final comments. So the mic is yours.
Thank you. I just want to give my website out if anybody wants to check out my media. I've had a lot of media attention on my book and been on Dr. Oz show and had a movie made of my life in the Philippines, 4-minute YouTube, or you want to connect to me. I'll give my email address and I'll give my website. My website is listentothecry.org. The name of my book is Listen to the Cry of the Child. And my email address, you can email me and I'll send you my press release or some of my links there. It's Bobby Joy, BobbyJoyHanSen at Juno.com. So, and if you want a copy of my book, I would love to sign it and send it to you. It's $20 plus shipping and handling. And it's a book of hope. It's full of answers and awareness. It's not just my story, but I wrote it from my journals that I had locked away for about 30 years. I had, Lisa has done, I wrote in journals as well, and that was my book. And I had them there, and I wrote my book in a week after 38 years of silence. So that is my ending. Thank you so much for having me
on. Okay. Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for all the input. I'm going to end up ending the show in just a minute or so, but I would like to remind – I just got the 90-second mark. I would like to remind Laura and Darlene to not hang up if you guys still want to exchange numbers. Give me an opportunity to close the show and just don't hang up, and I will share that if you're still interested. I'd also like to remind everybody – tomorrow night is a special guest show. I believe Carol usually hosts the Friday show, but Shirley J. Davis, she's a returning survivor. She is a returning guest. She is a survivor of child abuse, and she's an author as well. So please call in if you have an opportunity. Call in and support Shirley Davis. It ought to be an interesting show. It's always interesting when Carol hosts. So thank you all for supporting NASCA. Thank you for supporting each other. It's been an amazing show. So I'm going to end the show by saying God bless the children of the world and God bless adult survivors. And thank you all again for calling in. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. After all that you've done.
Okay, ladies, are you guys got something to write with?
Yep.
Okay. Laura's number is 920-263-8594. And Darlene's number is 931-215-4814.
Darlene,
okay,
when is
ladies?
The time to talk to you? Darlene?
Darlene? Okay.
Sorry, I had
she
it.
May have
still.
That's okay.
I still have it. Yeah, any time that you want to call, if you want to call now, feel free. Any time.
Okay, I think I will.
Too.
I think I'll call you right now, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
All right, ladies, y'all have a good evening. Okay, good night.
Thank
you for joining us. All right,
bye.